Welcome to another message from Brian Nugent, lead pastor at Generations Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to your life.
Now, this is a revive. We're in a spiritual emphasis, kind of 21 days. And we started last Sunday, our first week of our 21-day emphasis was on scripture reading. We gave you some resources. We completely gave out of those. We got some more. They're at guest services, some of those books. You can grab those if you signed up for them. But our focus is regaining and sustaining spiritual health, regaining and sustaining spiritual health. So over those 21 days, I'm calling the church, you know, to reading the word, to praying, to fasting. And this is, you know, this is just a time that we kind of get our priorities back together and kind of refocus our lives a little bit. And so we had some resources last week. This week we've got another resource for you. It's a prayer resource, because this week we want to focus on prayer. All this is a guide that gives you different ideas, outlines of how to pray. If you want to pray for your family, you want to pray for missionaries, you want to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's just all kinds of different prayer outlines and ideas that can guide you. You have the heart for prayer, and this resource can kind of help you go the right direction and kind of help you pray. So take this resource. There's also another one that we want you to take advantage of, too. It's a YouVersion devotional called Prayers That Matter. So I think it's a video devotional. If you got a few minutes, if you like the YouVersion kind of stuff, then take advantage of that. But this week, we want to focus on prayer. Last week was the Word. And if you began a reading plan, maybe you were never a person that read regularly, man, continue that this week. If you've never kind of been sporadic in your prayer life, this is the week to kind of focus on prayer. We could put some resources at your fingertips, and we want to pray this week. And then prepare, because next week is fasting. That's the fun week. That's the fun week, so I'm going to give you a little notice there. So, all right, Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to use this as my text this morning. I preached last week on Josiah, and I talked to you individually as individuals about reviving your life, some things that Josiah did in his own personal walk with God that kind of revived, took him to a next level. So this morning, I don't want to preach to you as individuals, because I normally preach to you as individuals, but this morning I want to preach to you as a church, at Generations Church. We had a great first service this morning, but I want to preach to you collectively as the church this morning. I'll read you Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 and 2. It said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and he led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." So this is not a nice scene. It's kind of a disturbing scene that the Lord takes Ezekiel to, a vision of a valley of rotting corpses. It's not very pleasant to think about. It wasn't probably pleasant for him to look at, but just seeing bones and corpses that were laying there. But especially what it represents, those bones, those bodies, the individual body just represented a person that was formerly alive. It was healthy. It was productive. It was reproducing. It was functioning. It was vibrant. Then along the way, somewhere, it became sick and it died. Now, some churches start out the same way. They start out with great promise. They are winning souls. They are discipling people. They are loving people. They are making an impact upon their world. And then something happens to that church and it gets sick and it dies. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the church. I love the local church. I love the big church, the big body of Christ that's much more broad than Generations Church. But I love the local church. This is all I've ever done, Whit. Maybe except for 6 months in college. This is the only thing I've ever done. I've given my whole adult life, you know, my vocation to the local church. And I love the local church, right? I don't know about you. I don't know what your experience is, but I love the local church. And it has been a great journey for me to be involved and to lead. And I love the local church. But now we got our own crazy people in the local church, right? I mean, look, we had our own little eras and phases, but I love the local church. And I just think back to dinner on the ground. Remember that? You know, you left chicken out in the sun for about 4 hours. That was a miracle of God that there was never sickness there. I love the local church. It didn't bother me. I got me a piece of chicken too, so it didn't bother me. I just trusted God. Remember the era of the church with the banners? Everybody waving banners? Remember that era? Anybody ever been hit in the head by a well-meaning banner waver? Yeah. I got towel snapped right in my eye one time, but just didn't even focus on it. I love the local church. How about the era where if you felt led, you brought a tambourine to church? Anybody remember that? And they never had the gift of rhythm, did they? Oh, Lord. Thank God that era's over. How about the era of the soloists that their mamas told them they could sing? And as they sang, we held on to the scripture, they that endure to the end will be saved. I love the local church. I love it. I've given my whole adult life to the local church. Seen churches thrive and do well and be healthy and seen churches that represent the vision that we saw, the vision of dry bones. And it's very sad when you see a church that is declining and it's sick and it's not healthy and some of them have died. What's going on with the church in America? Every year, more than 4,000 churches close their doors compared to just over 1,000 new church starts. Do the math on that. 4,000 close their doors. Every year, 2.7 million members fall into inactivity. In the last decade the combined membership of all Protestant denominations in the USA declined by almost 5 million members, while the U.S. population increased by 24 million. The United States now ranks third, following China and India, in the number of people who are not professing Christians. In other words, the U.S. is becoming an ever-increasing unreached people group. Do you realize that we have countries now that send missionaries to us to help us? Half of all churches in the U.S. did not add any new members to their ranks in the last 2 years. Sick and dying church. And the church is different than the human body, because when the human body dies, it ceases operation. A dead church will continue to have services Sunday after Sunday, perpetuating its death. Well, to the church, it's better that we have an exam that might be a little uncomfortable before we have an autopsy, right? It's better time that we look a little internally. And it's what Ezekiel saw when he saw this valley of dry bones, these corpses that could have been alive, that could have been productive, they could have been doing something, but they were dead. How do churches get sick and die? How do churches get sick and die? I'm going to give you some things on that this morning. Number one, they drift away from Scripture as its foundation. They drift away from Scripture as its foundation. Now, it's always gradual, you know, it always takes a period of time, but you see churches slowly separating themselves from the teaching of Scripture. You see, this is the compass for the church. It tells us where to go and it tells us where not to go. This word is our manual. It describes, you know, our relationship with God and tells us how to live. This word is our bread that is to feed us and to sustain us. And what good is the church without the scripture? Now, our great founding father, Thomas Jefferson, great founder, he had some different thoughts when it came to the scripture. So he took a Bible and he took a razor and he began to cut out of the Bible certain things that he did not like or agree with. And it's called the Jefferson Bible. It's in the Smithsonian Institute. I have a picture of that this morning that you can see. Actually, that's the actual Bible that he used as he began to cut out certain portions and passages of the scripture that he did not like. And that's what some churches have done. They've taken the scripture and said, well, we don't like this about the Holy Spirit, so we'll take that out. We don't like this about the exclusivity of Jesus, so we'll take that out. We will, you know, we're living in a different era, so when it comes to marriage and family and sexuality, we'll come up with our own beliefs. We live in an age of education and enlightenment, so passages about righteousness and godliness are no longer needed anymore in the church, and that's what happens. They slowly drift away from the scriptural foundation as it has been known. But a church without the scripture is a directionless, passionless, valueless, prayerless organization that slowly morphs into a social benevolent club. How do churches get sick and die? They drift away from the influence of Scripture as its foundation. How do churches get sick and die? The church refused to look like the community. The church refused to look like the community. We live in a very diverse society, ethnically and racially. And the church took the tack. Some of them did. They kind of tacked, no, we're just going to kind of keep our own people. We want people that live like us and that look like us. We need to all make the same amount of money and we all need to look the same. So the church stayed the same. Their community changed, but the church stayed the same. You see that sometimes even in Scripture. In Acts chapter 10, it was Peter who had this little issue concerning Gentiles. He did not really like us a whole lot. Well, unless you're Jewish, then he loves you. But he had this little issue about Gentiles and the gospel. And it took God sending a vision to Peter to go, listen, it's not just about Jews, it's about everyone. It's about anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. So the community changed, but the church said, no, we're going to stay the same. So I just want to say this morning. If you go to this church and you have a problem with someone's skin color or where they were born or the language they speak, then maybe Generations Church isn't your church. Maybe you need to find another place to go. And while you're going, you might stop off at the foot of the cross and let Jesus do something in your heart too. That's just for free. I just wanted to throw that in. They left Scripture. How does a church get sick and die? Leaves its foundation of Scripture. The community changed, but the church didn't change. Culture changed the church instead of church changing the culture. We're supposed to be the light and the salt. We're supposed to be the one that influences culture. The most powerful preachers that we have today are television and movie and music producers. Some of the most powerful pulpits that we have today come from rock stars and actors and actresses. And right before our eyes, they have redefined sexual values, right before our eyes. They've redefined marriage and what the family is to look like. Right before our eyes, they have been continually critical and made fun of the church, and now are posing human reasoning and thought as another religious idea. They have reshaped a generation when it came to some very important values right before our eyes. But while they were changing the culture, we were fighting over the color of carpet and who should serve on what committee and what money, you know, what ministry should have the most money. While we had those internal fights, they were changing culture. Culture changed the church instead of church changing the culture. Scottish philosopher Andrew Fletcher, I love this quote. He understood the power of culture and the arts. He said, "Let me make the songs of a nation. I care not who makes its laws. Let me make the songs of a nation. I care not who makes its laws." And we were silent, and they were, culture was changing the church instead of church changing the culture. What else? How do churches get sick and die? They were too hypocritical. Collectively, as a church, they did not live out the message of Jesus, the lifestyle of Jesus. And this was not acceptable to Jesus either. Some of his most harsh words were given to those that lived inconsistently from the message that he taught. Look at Matthew 23:15 and then verse 28. "Woe to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win one single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of the devil as you are." That's our loving Jesus. But that's what he says concerning hypocrisy. "In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." The church was too hypocritical. Jesus didn't accept that. And it was not acceptable to the community either. They came in the church looking for God, but they looked around and saw no discernible difference in the way people in the church lived and people in the world lived. They came with their hearts hungry. They wanted to hear a word from God. But they saw the lifestyles of the church and they left our doors disgusted with what they saw. How do churches get sick and die? Too hypocritical. Culture changing the church instead of church changing the culture. Leaving its moorings from Scripture. They became self-sufficient. They became self-sufficient. They attained money, wisdom, and they had success. But instead of that bringing them into greater humility, it bred arrogance. Well, they didn't feel like they needed God anymore. We don't have to be dependent upon the power and the presence and the provision of God anymore because we've got money in the bank. And we've had great success. We know what we're doing. And look at our facilities. We are the envy of other churches, and they became self-sufficient. But Jesus has already got a word for the self-sufficient church. He said, "You say I'm rich and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. In the shadow of their new sanctuaries, there was death in the sanctuary on Sunday morning." How did churches get sick and die? How did churches close up? What happens? 4,000 churches a year die. How many more are sick? When I was in Kentucky, I was pastoring. I was the presbyter of my section, which if you AG, maybe you know what that is. I was kind of an overseer for a 4-county area. We had 18 churches that I was kind of the overseer, kind of worked with the pastor and kind of helped. And one day, one of the pastors of those churches stopped by my office and sat in front of my desk, and he had a box, and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know, we've closed the doors. Closed the doors. We're not existing as a church anymore." And he pushed across my desk. It was the box of records and financial and check registers and that. And then he slid the keys, and he said, "I'm very sorry. It just didn't work out." And so part of my responsibility was to, you know, another week or so later, I traveled to the church to, we were going to sell the property, sell the things that were on the inside. I was supposed to go get an inventory and just kind of walk around the building and make sure that it was secured. And it was a very emotional time for me as I walked through that church, because the first thing you see when you walked in the church was the nursery. And the thought that there were no more babies, you know, the thought of the babies that had been in that nursery, but they no longer, you know, existed. And then, you know, you go to all the little classrooms where there should have been children running around hearing the message of the gospel, but it was empty because there were no more kids. And I went in the fellowship hall where the saints of God for years had eaten, and they had laughed, and they had shared, and they had been discipled, but that was no more. And then I walked in the sanctuary and saw the church pews that had one time had been full of people that were excited about their church. And I walked past the piano that had led in worship of the praise of God to that particular congregation. And I went and stood behind the pulpit that someone had preached the word of God to that community, but it was no longer being preached. And I went and stood in the altar and just took a moment reflecting on the lives that had been changed and transformed, you know, at that church, but it no longer existed. It was a very sad moment. And I went and put a padlock on the front door, and I drove away. And I want to say, Generations Church, we cannot let that happen to us. We cannot take for granted the work that God has done in our life and in our church. And this church has a great history, but we cannot allow it to get sick and die, not on our watch. There's too many people depending on us. Too many souls in this community that need to hear the message of the gospel. There's too many people around the world that need us getting missionaries on the field. We cannot be sick. We cannot die. Look at that verse in verse 3. In verse 3. He asked me, go back to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons, and you will make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord." So Ezekiel says, "So I prophesied. I did what the Lord said, as was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. And I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered into them, and they came to life, stood on their feet, a vast army. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So how can a church stay healthy and alive? How do churches get sick and die? I gave you some of those things. How do churches stay healthy and alive? Let me give you some things. Be a spirit-filled church. Be a spirit-filled church. In the passage that we just read, it was the breath of God or the presence of God that breathed upon those dry bones and brought life into that body. How could we not think as a church that it would be the breath of God and the presence of God that would bring us alive and sustain us into spiritual health? How could we think that wouldn't happen without the Spirit of God? See, there may be other churches. You know, we live in a different day now. Some churches, the Holy Spirit's not welcome and they don't have time for it. They got their money, they got their sanctuary, they got everything. But that's not Generations Church. That's not Generations Church. I say, Lord, breathe your breath upon these dry bones. Lord, pour your spirit out upon this church and upon the people of this church. Let us open our hearts to the Spirit of the Lord individually, and let us open our hearts up to the Spirit of the Lord as a church collectively. We need the Spirit of the Lord breathing his breath, giving us his presence in our church. Amen. Listen, I don't serve a dead God, and I don't want to go to a dead church. Lord, send your spirit here. How do churches become alive and healthy? By being a spirit-filled church. By remembering it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We're not just a group of really cool people that come together to hang out on Sunday morning, even though we are very cool, let me just say that. We are the trendy people of Tallahassee. That's not what brings us together on Sunday morning. It's the foundational belief of our individual lives that Jesus is our Lord, and we come together as a church to worship and serve him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. His virgin birth, his sinless life, his miracles, his resurrection from the dead, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ability to forgive sin, his ability to change and transform someone's life. That's our belief, and they are not up for negotiation or discussion. It's all about Jesus. And churches that separate themselves from the headship or the lordship of Jesus Christ, they're just benevolent social clubs that meet on Sunday morning. Our message that we keep consistent is that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus fills with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, our soon coming King. Give him praise this morning. Lord, we worship you. We worship you this morning, Lord. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. How can a church stay healthy and alive? By being a spirit-filled church. By remembering it's all about Jesus. By keeping our lifestyle and our beliefs consistent with Scripture. By keeping our lifestyle and beliefs consistent with Scripture. So we take this. We take this as a whole. It was like my mother when she served dinner. I didn't have the opportunity to leave the vegetables out. That was not part of the meal plan. It was everything. I ate everything. I had no choice. I had no option when it comes to Scripture. We as a church, we're not cutting out things that are inconvenient to our lives, that make us a little uncomfortable. It's not us to eliminate the scripture in areas that make us uncomfortable. It is up to us to open our heart up and let the word of God change our lives. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11 said, "And make it your ambition to lead a quiet life so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders." I love that. So listen to me. If our hypocrisy can drive people away from the church, then our consistent Christian living can bring people into the church. When they see that there is a discernible difference in the way that individuals and churches conduct their lives, it can be a magnet that can bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. And if we fail, we ask God's forgiveness. We ask the forgiveness of people around us whom we've affected. And we get back up, we get in the game, and we begin to serve God again. How do churches become healthy and alive? By keeping our lifestyle and our beliefs consistent with Scripture. So I want to say this morning, we commit ourselves as a church to the Word of God. We commit ourselves to the teachings of Scripture. And we commit ourselves to godly, righteous living. If you believe that, say amen with me. I want to live right. How can a church be healthy and alive? By being a praying church. By being a praying church. The sick and dying church was one that became self-sufficient. But a praying church is one that is dependent upon God. Because prayer, just the nature of prayer, just the acknowledgement of prayer. When you pray, there's a basic acknowledgement that of dependency upon God. When we pray, we're asking God to bless and heal and pour His Spirit out. There's a dependency that comes, an acknowledgement from the nature of prayer. We've got to be a praying church. We've got to be praying individuals. Do you hear me? We've got to be people of prayer. If we've ever needed to be people of prayer, it is now. If we've ever needed to be a church of prayer, it is now. In Acts chapter 6, they were having a little trouble in the church. They were just weren't quite sure how to navigate some of the issues that they were having. And they came to the belief, and the leadership said, "Here's our answer to these problems. We are committing ourselves to the study of Scripture and to prayer." We've got to be a praying church. How do churches become healthy and alive? By being a praying church. And the last one. How do churches stay healthy and alive? Always loving their community and their world. One church that was sick said, no, this is about us. It's about us. But a church that stays healthy and alive, worship team, you guys can come up here. A church that stays healthy and alive, it's about loving. And I've got your community and your world, but I want to add this. It's about loving your fellow church member. It's about caring about your world, loving your world, loving your community. We exist for one main purpose, so that everyone can know of the grace of Jesus Christ. That's our primary purpose, our primary message. So I want to say, let's stay healthy and alive. Care about your community. Get involved with it. Give money to help out in certain areas. Invite people to come. Our doors are open. They are open. Anybody can come. So I want to say to everyone this morning, I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your lifestyle is. I don't care what your political beliefs are. I don't even care what your prison record is. And we got those here that have prison records. They're on the front row right over there. Well, no, that's Claire's mother. Oh, my goodness. I am so sorry. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. I thought it was Shane and CJ. I apologize. Oh, God. Oh, I am so sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. Hope Claire's with the kids. Hey, I'm just saying. Because at this church, we don't care about your background. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what sin you've committed. You can't shock me with something that you've done that the Lord can't forgive. I want our church to be open. I want every person in this community feels like they need to hear an encouraging word. I want them to all to know they have a place at the foot of the cross. I want them to know that. I want this church to send out missionaries. I want us to give. I want us to let our community know that we love them. I want our world to know the Generations Church is there with everything we can to let people know of the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Habakkuk said, Lord, I've heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, renew them in our day. Renew them in our day. This is not a time for us to fade at the finish. If there's ever a time that there needed to be a strong, spirit-filled church proclaiming the message of Jesus, it is now. This is not a time to retreat into sickness and division and death. It is a time for health and vitality and have a strong, spirit-filled church that is proclaiming the message to the world that Jesus saves. It's now. It's now.
Amen.
I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Renew them in our day. Renew them in our day and in our time. Make them known. Renew them in our day. Just saying, Lord, we need your presence. Preaching to our church this morning. If you're a visitor, I love you. I'm glad I'm here. Glad you're here. I'm preaching to our home folks this morning. It's not a time for death and sickness and lethargy. It's a time for strength and power and vitality. It's not a time to be, you know, to be weary in the vineyard. It's time for a new strength and a new anointing in our lives that we can work as hard as we can until Jesus comes.
This concludes the message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org.